Okay, this is Worry, Guilt, and Shame, Forget It, and this is Dallas.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Would you turn to Jerry and say, I am a powerful creator.
I am a powerful creator.
I am a powerful creator.
I am a powerful creator. I am a powerful creator.
I'm 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 a powerful creator.
And I am a powerful creator. Why do we do this? Why is this so important to know? There is no freedom on this plane of action unless you realize that you are creating everything. If you think somebody else or something else is creating something, you have given up your freedom, and there's nothing you can do about that. But if you know that you create everything that comes into your life, now you have the choice or the freedom to change that. So we are taught to look outside of ourselves, to look at a circumstance, to look what's going on in front of us, and then we respond to that instead of creating what we want to see in front of us. You see? Remember, Jesus said, do not judge by appearances. Don't judge anything that's going on out there. That's already created. There's nothing you can do about that. Once something is created, it's here. But you do not have to focus on that, and it does not have to be the universe that you're living in or your own personal reality. You can decide to see things differently, and then you can bring that into your experience. But if you think that something else is doing it, it is not going to help you. I went to the printers on the way here to get these little things printed, and the lady was there, and she was explaining to the man that the poster that she wanted was ruined because a Coca-Cola that she had in the car fell over and spilled on it. But it wasn't her fault. It was the dumb Coca-Cola, is what she said. It's the dumb Coca-Cola. Now, you see, is Coca-Cola smart or dumb? Does it have an IQ? You see, you cannot do that. She would not take responsibility. Did the Coke just jump in the car by itself? She had to put that Coke in there. But she's blaming it, not taking responsibility. She's blaming it on something else. She's blaming it on something else. So, know that you are a powerful creator and that you came here to this plane of action to prove that to yourselves. To prove that to yourselves. Very difficult sometimes for us to understand that we were the ones who decided to incarnate on this planet. And that we were the ones who picked the parents that we came through. We come through our parents. It's the only way that we can get on to this plane of action. So we pick them. We choose them ourselves. Why? Because they have something to give us or we have something to give them. We have a contract of some sort. And it's fulfilled all the time. So when you give up that idea of blaming your parents or blaming your past for anything, you can start over. It was the Buddha that said, every day you are reborn. Every day is a day to start over. Every day is a day to live in the now. It has nothing to do with your past whatsoever. Whatever happened in the past, let that go. Whatever happened in an old relationship, let that go. Remain in the now and start what you want in the now. Don't bring the garbage with you. Don't drag all that stuff with you and say, well, I did this yesterday and I did this and I did that. That is where we start to get this guilt and shame, you see, because we think that the past means something. The past is exactly that. The past. Let it go. It has nothing to do with you whatsoever. Nothing to do with you. Only if you look back. Only if you look back And you think all that stuff that you did back there is influencing what you're doing now. And it doesn't. It was Lot's wife, remember, who turned to salt. She turned to salt because she turned back. You cannot look back and forward at the same time, or your mind gets crystallized or turns to salt. Always look ahead. Forget the past. Forget this morning. Nothing you can do about it. But love it and bless it and release it and say, I did a great job this morning. Regardless. You're the one that's qualifying all these things. That is why you must learn to say to yourself, I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. You see, you have to do that for yourself, regardless of what you did yesterday. I don't care if you were mean, hateful, and spiteful in your past. It doesn't count now. I would not be teaching this teaching if I look back to in my past, because in my past I was mean, hateful, and spiteful. And I thought that's the way people lived. And I was very proud of myself because I was very good at being mean, hateful, and spiteful. I had taken it to a complete new art form, you see. And people thought, oh, isn't he wonderful? He's so sarcastic, you see. That is not who I wanted to be. And it's not who I am. And that's in the past. That is in the past. So give up your past. That's what it means to be reborn, is to give up your past. And know that right now, you can start over. Every instant of your life, you can start over. Every instant is brand new. You see? The next moment, you do not know. It's brand new. It hasn't been touched by anything. How do you want to make your next moment? Do you want to sit in the thought that you're in right now and take it to the next moment? Or can you recognize the thought you're in now and change that thought so that you feel better in the next instant? You see, no one can make you feel better but yourself. It's all done with your thinking. It's all done with your mind. It is a mental world we live in. And we have to keep reminding ourselves of that. That it is this mind, that it is this thinking that is causing everything in our life. That it is the belief system that we have built up and we start to believe and we live by that belief system. Don't do that to yourself. If you don't like who you are, if you don't like what you're doing, simply change it. You are not stuck being somebody. And give up this thing of holding something against yourself. Let somebody else do that. Let somebody else, if they want to remind you, you say, don't do it to yourself. Be new every moment. Think a new thought every moment. The only way your life is ever going to change is by changing the way you're thinking. By changing the way you're thinking. So if you constantly tell yourself that I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter, you can make a change. Because your mind will start attracting that to you. But if you think you're miserable, it's only going to attract miserable things to you. This is a wonderful universe we live in. It's a friendly universe we live in. But it's run by a law. And it's run by an immutable law. Immutable meaning it never changes. And it works exactly the same for everyone. Because this universe does not show favorites. What one person can do, everyone can do. Remember, one of the master teachers, Jesus, said, you can do this in greater things. And we immediately forget that. We immediately forget that. So know that about yourself. Take responsibility. But get rid of the worry. We talked the first week in April about worry. And I told you that 99% of the things that you worry about never happen. 99% of the things. Look back in your life. Stop the worry habit now. If you don't stop the worry habit now, it just keeps getting worse. And as you get older, it gets worse and worse and worse. You see? So don't worry about things anymore. There's nothing you can do about it. Worry will not improve you, and it will not change the situation at all. So just when people say that, let them say it, but don't buy into it. You see, we have been taught by the world that worry improves situation, that by worrying, you're really interested in something. I really worried over that test. I really worried over that. I hear people say, I didn't worry enough. You don't want to worry at all. You don't want to worry at all. If you know that you live in a friendly universe, if you know you live in a universe where this thing that we call God is always for you and not against you, always wants to help you, then why would you worry? Why would you worry? You have to know any situation comes into your life to go out of your life, and will go out of your life in the most divine way once you release it and say, I don't know how to do this, God, but I know that you know how to do it. So I'm casting this burden on you. I'm casting this burden on you. I can't carry it any longer. And then just cast it. Now, I use my imagination in a situation like this, and I just cast my problems into this great big thing that I call the mind of God. And as it goes in there, it just goes puff up in a big, big smoke thing that just burns up like we're throwing it into a blast furnace. And then it's taken care of. And now I go on my way to be free, to create something else, and to be happy, you see, and to be happy. But it always is going to start with us. It's always going to be an inside job. It's always going to be a do-it-yourself project. And it's always going to start with the premise that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yay! So, don't worry. Then we talked about guilt, and this whole thing about guilt. And there's so many different types of guilt. There's the Jewish guilt, there's the Catholic guilt, there's the Protestant guilt, there's your mother's type of guilt. All things to manipulate you in some way to feel guilty about. Now, I'm going to tell you a cute story about guilt. I have a friend, 85 years old, Beverly. She called me today, wanting me to go tomorrow to see a musician, magician, that sings opera.
Musician.
No. Magician, she said.
Okay.
So, see, that's why I get that. So confused. So anyway, it's through the Red Cross. And Beverly worked for the Red Cross. She was very high up. She was the president of the Red Cross at one time. And when I called her back to say I wasn't going to go, I didn't have to. She said, you know, Dallas, I thought it over, and I'm not going to go. I said, well, I think that's why, since you told me a couple years ago that you were never going to attend another one of those, because all those people do is talk about their aches and pains, and you see how old they are, and it drives you crazy. But she said, you know what? I felt guilty. I felt guilty. They were putting a guilt trip on me to make me come. But she came to her senses. Now, see, she's 85 years old, and somebody can still play a guilt trip on her. But she caught that. She caught that. I know that, who is it? You, Jerry, is reading The Power of Now. But there's such a thing called The Power of No, N-O. And I'm always more interested in the power of no. You see, if you do something that you don't want to do, you're not going to bring happiness to yourself nor to the people that are there. When you do something out of guilt, out of shame, or because you think you have to, you've given your life away. You've given your time away. You've given your life away. Now we say, oh, well, that's a social obligation. Don't do anything you don't want to do. Say no, thank you. You don't have to explain that. I often say no to people and they say, well, why not? I say, it's none of your business. It's none of your business. I'm not going into this explanation. You know, what part of no don't you understand? So use that, the power of no. It'll relieve you and bring many things to you. You do not have to do anything out of guilt. And you do not have to do anything out of this thing called shame. What do we know about worry, shame, and guilt? They're man-made. They're man-made. Animals in the wild do not suffer from worry, shame, and guilt. But you start to domesticate them. And animals, you can guilt an animal. You can shame an animal. You see. Other animals don't shame each other. But humans shame animals, and animals pick up that emotion, shame. But it's not a natural emotion. It's a learned behavior. Give it up. The world teaches that. The world teaches shame and guilt to manipulate you, to get from you what they want. So see into that. Don't wait till you're 85 and finally have enough moxie to say, no, I'm not coming. You say, 85 and somebody's still placing a guilt trip on her. Is that not ridiculous? I don't want to be 85. I want to be cantankerous when I'm 85 and tell people, no, I'm not doing anything. So don't do it to yourself. I'm going to tell you another cute story about the mind and how the mind works. Now, this is my mind, of course, and I happen to realize that my mind works exactly like your mind. You see, the thing that people think is that their mind is thinking differently than anybody else's, or there's something wrong with their mind, or they think, whatever they're thinking. But there's only one mind. There's only the mind of God. And we live, move, and have our being in that mind, and we all use that mind. And the reason that I can prove that there's only one mind, if there was more than one mind, we would all be seeing something different. And you see, because you see with the mind, not with the eyes. And so I can see all you and you can see all me. Hence, we're only using one mind to do that. But the mind plays little tricks on you and it's always telling you different things. So about a month, 2 months ago, I gave directions to my friend Gloria. And you know, I do things by landmarks. And I do get some things mixed up. But I can always find where I'm going because I'm in divine right order and I always get where I'm going. So she wanted to meet at the restaurant, and I told her exactly where the restaurant was, and I said, it's Marie Callender's. Now, it's in a little shopping center in Atwater Village. So when I got there, I recognized, oh, it's Mimi's, not Marie's. Well, of course, she could not put two and two together. So she didn't meet me there. She said, well, I was there. It was Marie Callender's, or it was Mimi's, not Marie Callender's. I said, because of the name, you're giving that up. So I let that go. Now, 2 months ago, that's gone. Last night, she called for another place, and she said, you know, I'm always leery to get directions from you. That all came right back up again in my mind. You see, I want to go, you stupid thing. You couldn't put two women's names together, Mimi and Marie. You couldn't do this. Well, what's the name of this other restaurant? I said, I think that it's Chinese 55. That's all I could remember. Well, where is it? I said, I know it's on brand in Glendale. Well, what cross? I said, I'm going there tomorrow. I will find all this out and give you the exact location. Well, it's called Gourmet 88. But my mind, you see, my mind, that brought that right back up. And in an instant, I could have hated her. And my mind wanted to say, she's ignorant, she's dumb, she's stupid. And she said to me, you always get the directions wrong. I don't get the directions wrong. I may get the names wrong, the directions I get wrong. But I watched my mind while she was talking last night go through all this stuff. And this two or three months ago, I thought, that's gone. I have released that. But you see, it triggered right back up again. And my mind. Now, that is how you watch the movements of your mind. That is how you become a witness to your thinking. That is just thinking. It has nothing to do with me whatsoever unless I decide that it does. I just look at that and say, isn't that amazing? Isn't that something? And then I don't get all upset and so forth. And I let her. Because what are the choices that you have in life? Do you want to be happy or do you want to be right? I don't have to prove that I'm right to her. Now, the other little thing that comes up in my mind came up. Gloria is a very, very intelligent woman. And I'm going, well, she can't be that smart, you see. And I want to do all that and rip that. It goes nowhere. It goes nowhere. So I just love, bless, and release that. I called her today. I gave her, told her it was Gourmet 88. And I said that the chain was up in front of the place at 11, a little after 11, so maybe they're not open anymore. But I said, you call and you find out all this stuff. But the reason why I tell you this is, you see, you have to watch. Your mind will do you in constantly. It will do you in constantly. You are the one who has to just watch it and say, I am not buying into any of that. You see. And then you stop. Otherwise, you're going to lose friends. See? I could have crossed her right off my list and come up with 9 reasons why she was no good anymore.
I just want to comment on the situation that just happened to me today that reminds me of that. That I had a friend that I was getting together with regularly, and all of a sudden, she just stopped calling. And I left her probably 4 messages, Mr. Happy New Year, so I'm concerned about you. Never heard a word, nothing. Last message, I kind of said, well, it kind of hurt my feelings, but anyway, make a long story short, I just get this email, you know, to join her on a Facebook, which I don't even get on. So I emailed her back and I said, where have you been? And she said, well, I've been really sick and I haven't talked to anybody and I'm going past all that. You never called me back. I left you 4 messages and, you know, and then I said, wait a minute, call her back, get together. But all that stuff is coming up.
Yes.
Same thing.
It's the same garbage, and that's how we do ourselves in, and that's how relationship ends, that's how all this stuff ends. And it's meaningless. It means absolutely nothing. You see, your friend was busy. Doesn't mean that, you see. Doesn't mean that. Doesn't, you see, we take things personally. And as soon as you take something personally, you're done in. And your mind is going to do you in. So we let those, I call those the nits and fleas of life. You just let them go. If you worry about all that stuff, and you don't watch the movements of your mind, your life is going to be a disaster. You're always going to be in turmoil. You're always going to not like yourself. All kinds of things are going to come up. But once you know that, you say, how many times do I tell you? You are not your mind. Your mind is yours. You must learn to use it the same way you learn to use the computer. The same way. And every day when I'm at my computer, I learn something new. I pressed a button today, SC something up top, and this screen went. I go, oh, now I know what that does. You know, now I know what that does. So when I do that type of thing, I think of my mind also, and I think, what can I touch today? How can I change my mind today? How can I learn more about this computer that's in my head? This computer that's in my head. And that's what it is up here, this brain. This mind is a computer. And I think I've told you this once before. A scientist say If they made a computer that could do all the things that the human brain can do, it would be as big as half the United States. It would be as big as half the United States. We have a marvelous thing between our ears. And that's what I believe when the Bible says, the gift has been given. The gift has been given. The gift of what? The gift of mind, the gift of life, the gift to be able to think and think rightly, think correctly. And the only way you're able to do that is by learning to become a witness to your thinking. See what you are thinking. And then say, do you want to think that? And most of the time, all day long, I hit the delete button. I just delete most of the things that come into my thinking. Most of the things are absolute nonsense. Are absolute nonsense. You do not have to think them. You see, people think that if a thought comes in to their mind, they have to do something about it. You don't have to do something about it. You don't have to entertain it. You see? If a horrible person comes into your house, do you invite them to stay for a month? But if a horrible thought comes in, you'll mull that around, oh my God, like a dog with a bone. And it's just a thought, and you don't want that thought anyway. So let that thought go. And ask for a better thought. I always say, can't you do something better than that? I don't like that one. Can't you give me a more prosperous thought? Can't you give me a more healthy thought? You say. And then start thinking a better thought. Start thinking a better thought about yourself. It's all in our thinking. And no one's going to help you with this. You have to do it yourself. But make it fun. Have fun with this whole thing. That's what you're here for. You're here on this plane of action to have fun. But you've been sold a bill of goods. You've been sold a bill of goods by that world outside, that thing that I call race mind. It is very convincing. And what race mind has set up and told you, that it is the human condition. And this is what humans do. Humans worry. Humans have guilt and humans have shame. And that's not true. Unless you wish to live with those things. You see, how are we ever going to change? How are we ever going to change if we keep thinking that that's the human condition? And are we going to pass worry, guilt, and shame onto the next generation? Because things are passed on to the next generation through thought. You see, mind grows all the time. We're here to think a different thought. We're here to think a better thought. A thought that's never been thought before. That is what we're here for. Not to think the same thought over and over, and not to keep repeating the same thing over and over and over. Nothing gets better by doing that. Nothing gets better by doing that. So always ask for a better thought. Always ask for a higher thought. And you will obtain that. You will obtain that thought. But think about that. What thought am I doing? And if you think that this is not true, that mind expands and gets better with each generation, because you're always born in to the thought atmosphere that is existing at the time. Look at children today. Before they can get out of their diapers, they know how to run a computer. They know how to run a computer. We live, move, and have our being in mind, and mind improves all the time. Mind improves all the time, and that's what we are here for. To stretch our consciousness, to think bigger and better thoughts, so that we leave behind a better place than it is now. Think about those things. Let's go over this. Because here again, I think this is very succinct. And this is, welcome, little one, to planet Earth. If we were speaking to you on your first day of physical life experience, we would have to say to you, welcome, little one, to planet Earth. There is nothing that you cannot be, do, or have. You have you are a magnificent creator, and you are here by your powerful and deliberate desire to be here. You are here because you want to be here. You are here. And as we get older and older, that desire to be here either gets stronger or it deteriorates. And that's why so many people leave this plane of action before they have to. They leave because they don't have the desire to stay here anymore. Have a desire to be here on this plane of action. See the joy, see the wonder. See how beautiful this place is. See how beautiful and magnificent you are. And stay as long as you possibly can, having fun, having pleasure, enjoying yourself. You see, this teaching teaches pleasure. The world teaches pain. And there's that horrible saying in the world, no pain, no gain. To that I say, no thank you. Why can't you gain something through pleasure? But we think, oh, the only way we're ever going to grow is through pain. I'm not into pain. Don't do it to yourself. You have specifically applied the wondrous law of deliberate creation. And by your ability to do that, you are here. Deliberate creation. Think about that. Instead of just thinking that things happen to you all the time, get up every morning and say, what am I going to deliberately create today? And then create that. Is it health? Is it wealth? Is it relationships? Is it creative self-expression? What is it that you want to create and deliberately create? Once you make up your mind, you make a decision that this is what you want. The whole universe comes and backs you up in that decision. This is the whole idea that God helps those who help themselves. But you must make a decision first. You must say to yourself, this is what I want. And then you don't have to do anything but keep your focus on what you want. Because you do not know how to create what you want. Only this thing called God, this thing called the universe, this thing called the law of attraction knows how to do that. Your job is to ask. Its job is to do. Remember, fun and entertainment committee, ways and means. I don't talk to the ways and means committee past saying this is what I want. See, we say, this is what I want, and then we go out and we say, well, it has to be done this way, it has to be done that way. I can't do it without this, I can't do this. No. You say, you don't do that to yourselves. This is exactly what I want. I have made this decision. And then sit back, focus on that, and the universe will bring it to you. The universe will bring it to you. I've done this many, 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 many times in my life. Many times in my life. And if it works for me, it works for you. And what do? We put feeling behind that. It's always going to be done with warmth of feeling. Warmth of feeling. How am I feeling? How many people here are still feeling successful? How many people here feel successful every day? You have to feel successful every day. You have to feel where you want to be. You have to feel who you want to be. And that starts a vibration, which attracts this thing called the law. Go forth and attract life experiences to help you decide what you want. Aha! To help you decide what life experience do you want. And once you have decided, give thought only to that. Give thought only to that. Remember, you have to have this focus. If you keep changing your mind all the time, how do you expect the universe to be able to do that for you? It just becomes a hodgepodge of stuff. And that's how most people are living, in a hodgepodge. Most people live in what's called the law of averages. We do not, in this teaching, live in the law of averages. We live in the law of cause and effect. In the law of cause and effect, we ask for what we want, we focus on what we want, and it comes to us. The law of averages says 9 out of 10 people will do this. 3 out of 4 will do that. You see, 3 out of 4 people will become wealthy. And most people jump on the other side because they don't think that they'll ever become wealthy. Why? Because they don't think they're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, or that they matter. Because somewhere along the line, they left that thought get into their head. Now you have to get that thought out of your head and say, no, that's not right. I am worthy, deserving, totally level, and I matter. And I'm going to have what I want. Stamp your foot. And damn it, I want it now. Why do I stamp my foot? It starts a vibration. It starts a feeling inside of me. You just can't sit there. Oh, I'm so humble. Surely if I get really humble, God will give me this. I don't think so. You won't. Be bold, and mighty forces will come to your aid. Be bold, and mighty forces will come to your aid. Not through being so timid and shy and bashful that you can't even ask for what you want. Most of your time will be spent collecting data that will help you decide what it is you want. But your real work is to decide what you want and then focus upon it. For it is through focusing upon what you want that you will attract it. This is the process of creating. Focusing on that. Getting a feeling for that. Knowing that you're putting out a vibration. Here is where you use this wonderful thing called the mind, and in the mind you use a tool called imagination. And you have to realize, you see, even when you talk, when I'm talking, how are you hearing me talk? Through vibrations in your eardrums. This whole world, this whole universe is done by vibration. It's done by sound. Everything is a vibration. Everything is a wave. Radio waves, AM radio waves, FM radio waves, microwaves. You probably know tons more than I don't. So this air is just filled with vibrations, just filled with something. So the vibration for wealth is right here in front of you. Right here in front of you. But it's at 101 on the Dow. And you have your Dow at 98. You have your Dow at 98 and you're expecting wealth. It's at 101. You have to turn up the vibration. You have to tune into what you want. You see, people don't tune into what they want. They sit and they say, oh, yes, I want this, that, and the other thing. But your vibration is too low. You're on the wrong channel. If you're watching television, you think channel 4 is going to come across channel 3? Well, I want to watch channel 4. Well, then, nitwit, turn the dial to 4. But no, you stare at 3, thinking you're going to get 4. It's done with vibration. Everything is out here in front of you. Find that vibration. Now, that vibration, it's going to be different for each and every one of you because it's done with your feeling. How are you feeling? What does wealth feel like to you? And then start vibrating at that. What does health feel like? And then start vibrating at that. Now here's another thing that people do. You'll wait to the last moment. You say, You don't think about health until you're not healthy. Then you start to think about health. Why don't you think about health all day long, every day, and give thanks for the health that you have? Then you won't get sick. But if you wait till you're sick, now you're in a sick vibration. How are you going to get yourself out of that? It's going to be a little difficult to get yourself out of that. The same way with wealth. The same way with wealth. Think wealth all the time. Think money, 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 money. Every morning I sit down to read, and before I start my reading, I go, money, 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 money. Money, 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 money. I see money everywhere. Money's coming to me. Money, 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 money. Money's always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus. Then I go on to read a wonderful treatment that I put out here a long time ago. That I know that God is my source and my supply. That it has nothing to do with anything else. Nothing to do with anything else. But I never wait till I'm down to one penny and then try to manifest something. Keep your vibration where you want it. Keep your vibration where you want it. We are not talking to you on the first day of your life experience. You have been here for a while. And most of you see yourselves not only through your own eyes. In fact, not even primarily through your own eyes. But you see yourself mostly through the eyes of others. Through the eyes of others. And so many of you are not now currently in the state of being what you want to be. Sit down and ask yourself, what do I want? Not what does my mother want? What does my father want? What does my boss want? What does God want from me? What do you want from yourself? What type of life do you want? And then attract that to you by creating a vibration that will bring it into your life. That will bring it into your life. So many times I have said this is a very simple teaching. It's always done unto you as you believe. It's always done unto you with that feeling that you're feeling about yourself. And for years, I know for myself, I was absolutely, I wouldn't tell anyone. I would hide from that. I would skirt it from every issue. Because I knew perfectly well I don't have self-confidence. I didn't have self-confidence. So I hid. And so many people have no self-confidence and they hide from that. Instead of saying, I have no self-confidence, but damn it, I'm going to get it. It's out there. It is out there and I'm going to get it. I'm not going to live this way anymore. I'm going to learn to like myself. I'm going to learn to enjoy myself. I'm going to learn to see myself in a whole new and different way. And then do that for yourselves. Do that for yourself. You can come to this teaching and go to any church. You can spend years in therapy. But if you don't come to the conclusion that you are worthy, deserving, totally level one, that you matter, that you're a magnificent human being, that you are one with this thing called God, and that this life is wonderful, your life is not going to work. It's not going to work the way you want it to. You're saying, stop watching the television news at nighttime. Start seeing wonderful things and so forth. The world out there is bombarding us at the present moment, more so than ever before. Now we have all those new signs that light up. Did you see those new big billboards that light up? So there was one on my corner. I turned the street and I thought the sun came up. I mean, and then it does four different advertisements. You know, it goes off and on like a television set. It's gigantic. Telling you all kinds of crazy things that you don't need to know. The other day I was driving over to my yoga class where I go for yoga, where I go to meditate, where I go to feel good. I'm in my car. I'm in the back of a bus. Big thing on the back of the bus. shaken child syndrome. And there they have a little baby with tubes sticking out of it. This half a face and all these bandages. All this goes into your mind. You have to do something with it. You have to do something with it. You have to release that. You have to say, yes, I have compassion for all that stuff. Yes, I can say that that stuff happens. But not in my reality. Not in my reality. And then they'll probably at the bottom, I didn't bother to read, probably says send a check in. If you send a check in for some of that, any of that kind of stuff, you are supporting that. You are telling your mind that you support shaken child syndrome. Yes, they need help. They need help. But you have to show compassion. The help you can do is not do it to somebody else. To see that person who did it and forgive them. And forgive them. But the world would like you to buy into all of that. And the more of that that you see, the more you say to yourself, this isn't a very nice world. How many people say, I don't know what the world's coming to? I just don't know what the world's coming to. Years ago, there was a musical out. Pearly. Wonderful musical. One of the songs was, life's not coming to an end. Life's just coming to a start. And you see, every time we see that, we think life is changing. Life is coming to an end. Horrible things are happening. The doomers and gloomers have been around since day one. No. It was first Adam and Eve, and then a gloomer and doomer. You can't buy into that. You have to know that this is a wonderful world that you live in. It's a wonderful world you live in. And we know that all those shaken baby syndromes, all that other stuff that goes on, all the stuff that you want to worry about, all that stuff is 5% of what's going on in the world. Let's look at the 95% of things. You see? Why? Because what you focus on comes to you. What do you focus on? So what are you focusing on right here and right now? Are you letting your mind tell you what to think? Or are you telling your mind what you want to think? Are you telling your mind what you want it to think? It is yours. You can tell it to think anything. It has to obey you. It's the genie in the bottle, by the way. It has to do it for you. But you let it tell you. You let it tell you. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours. Use it and use it correctly. I have a card. We look at our souls to remind ourselves that we have a divine spark inside. And yet, we don't base our lives on it. The soul flickers in and out. You see, we all say, oh yes, my soul, oh yes, divine spark's inside of me. Oh yes, I have a soul, I have a divine spark. Yes, I'm one with God. Yes, I am God. Yes, I'm this, that, and the other thing. But we don't base our lives on it. What do we base our lives on? Money. The economy. We don't base our lives on that. Yet we come to these classes, we go to churches, and we swear up and down that this is so. That this inside of me is a soul. But then we go out and live differently. You have to remember every day that you have a divine spark inside of you. You have to remind yourself every day that you're one with God. That God would be incomplete without you. That God needs you. and that you need God, and that you're going to start to live your life that way. You are here on this plane of action to enjoy yourselves and to come to the realization that you truly are a creator, which means that you are a God. And we're learning to think God thoughts after it, so that eventually it will dawn on us, oh my goodness, I am God. Oh my goodness. All these years. That's what you want to do. You are deliberate creators. And it's wonderful. And so am I, and so are you, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.